The Nevada Health, excuse me, the Health and Science System Committee meeting to order. If we could do a roll call, we'll make sure we have a quorum. One person is out of the room, but hopefully we have everybody else. Who's doing it?
Is it Chair Brager?
Oh, here.
Vice Chair McGrath?
Here.
Regent Downs?
Here.
Regent Golikachia?
Here.
And Regent Goodman?
Here.
Thank you very much.
You have a quorum.
In the essence of time, and I totally respect the land acknowledgement, we did do it this morning. I think, is that okay to proceed on legal? Okay, thank you. With due respect to that, since we did do that, we'll move on. We have public comment. Is there anyone in Reno that has public comment?
Madam
Chair.
There's no public comment here.
Pardon me?
If you could read the phone instructions.
I don't have it.
Would you like me to read for you?
Yeah, do you mind?
No, not at all. For those wishing to make public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 992-8475-3091 and passcode 555-555.
No, you did. I apologize. I was looking at one agenda and it was on another agenda. Or another document. Gosh, Susan. Okay, so we are to public comment. I will start up in Reno. Do we have any public comment in Reno?
There's no public comment in Reno.
Thank you very much. Is there public comment at GVC?
There's no public comment at GVC.
Thank you very much. Public comment here in our boardroom? Okay, seeing none there. Is there any public comment on the phone?
None at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. We will consider the approval of the June 4th, 2026 meeting minutes. Is there any changes or additions to that? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Regent Gorgachia.
Thank you, sir. A second?
I'll second, Regent Downs.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by aye.
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 Any?
Aye.
Any, I just went blank on word. Opposed, thank you. Seeing none, the motion passes. I'll be very, very brief in the essence of time. And it was a very important meeting that we had, but we still have business to consider here. What I'm going to do in these opening remarks, I was on the committee as co-chair last time, and so I'm very comfortable with where we were going and where we're going to go. And the only thing that I would like to ask of the committee is, if the committee for the next meeting, if you know, and it would just be a one-minute situation, if there's anyone across the state in health science at any of our systems, campuses, I would like to see them be recognized. So if we could just pick a person at each one of the health and science meetings in regards to health and science, that we would just take 1 minute to just share who they are, what they've done. And so it not necessarily on the presidents to do it, but anyone on your campus for one person. So hopefully it doesn't get complicated. But I think that outstanding person, it would be nice to just say what they've done and who they are. And there's five of us. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, Chair Brager. This is Jeffrey Alexander from TMCC for the record. I'm happy to share on that topic that just 2 weeks ago, Nevada Business Magazine named their Healthcare Heroes Award recipients. Oh. And in the category of education, the Healthcare Hero Award recipient is Dr. Julie Ellsworth, our Dean of Life Sciences, Allied Health, and Public Safety. So we're very proud of Julie.
Thank you. And if you don't mind, and I would like to, you know, if we could bring that back even the next time, because it would be a first. But I would like each committee member, if they choose to choose someone. I think it'd just be exciting. And not that there's not other great fields, but health and science is a little unique of what people are doing out there in the academia. And I think that'd be kind of fun. So it'd just be a 1 minute, 30 second from each person. It would not add, it would add a lot morally. And I think it'd be nice to honor those people. So that's all I really have to say. And we will go on to item number four, information only, Senate Bill 165, Mental and Behavioral Health Practitioner Program, Development Overview, Dr. Marcia Turner, Associate Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences, Dr. Are they here?
Yes.
Tara C. Rines, Senior Director of Policy and Advocacy at the University of Oregon, Baller Institute for Children's Behavioral Health, and representatives from participating NCHE institutions will provide an overview of Senate Bill 165. I won't say any more. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Marcia Turner. I'm the Associate Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences, and we are going to try and move this meeting fast. And on your item that you just talked about, I'm happy to help facilitate that in any way I can.
Thanks.
For the next meeting. So what we're going to do in this first item, we are going to talk about SB 165. That was a bill that was passed last session. Senator Rochelle Wynn was the champion of it, and we just love her support. She's stuck with us all throughout and is a great advocate for us. And so the plan is I'm going to ask Dr. Tara Rains, who was also one of the key architects of this, to help give us an overview on what it is. The idea is that NCHE got $6.4 million spread across UNR, UNLV, GBC, and the system. And she's going to explain what the end product is. So basically, it's to help promote micro-credentials, bachelor's degrees, and then scholarships in helping with the creation of this new mental and behavioral health profession. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Rains to give you an overview of that, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Michelle Paul from UNLV and Dr. Stacy Werner from GBC to give you some highlights on what their programs are doing. So I will turn it over to Tara Rains right now.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Brager. My name is Tara Rains, for the record. Good afternoon, Chancellor and members of the committee. This is a lot of slides. You have the full slide deck in your packets, and I am going to give a high-level overview. Is this the clicker? All right. We're going to click through these slides really quickly. I'm going to try to do this in 5 minutes or less. So I am Tara Rains. I am the Senior Director of Policy and Advocacy at the Ballmer Institute for Children's Behavioral Health, which is based in the University of Oregon. Our vision is we want access to high-quality child mental health care to be available for all children and families. What we know is that we do not have enough mental health providers. And so if we look at the Nevada data, currently this is based on data from 2025, Nevada's 50th for youth depression, 48th for youth with substance disorders, and 51st for overall for youth mental health. And so we see a path to addressing that by addressing the provider shortage. This slide shows that across the country, it's a challenge, and more than 50% of families, roughly, who want to obtain mental and behavioral health support have a difficult time finding a provider. And we believe this is an underestimate because these are the people who are actually looking for support, not the folks who might benefit from it. So our approach to this is to create a new profession. And so what that looks like is creating a pool of providers who can support at the bachelor's level, people who are able to graduate with a degree, ready to enter the workforce and ready to support. And so with our current amount of providers, if you look at this graphic, we have enough providers to support some of the kids who meet diagnostic criteria. With this new expanded workforce, we should have enough providers to support kids all along the spectrum before they meet the diagnostic criteria. I'm breezing through some of these slides. There is evidence for using a bachelor's level professional. It's done in other countries. We are currently working toward full implementation. Here I have a few studies. You're welcome to reach out if you'd like me to send you a copy of them that support the use of bachelor's level professionals to do this work. And what we are seeing so far, our progress is making a positive impact. So we launched the Ballmer Institute in March of 2022. In December 2022, the Oregon body, similar to yourselves, approved our training program. We took in our first cohort in 2024. 2025, Nevada was the first state to adopt this profession and launch three training programs here in our state. In March 2026, we got a similar license to the Nevada license passed in Oregon. We are currently in rulemaking, working on the regulations in both states. And in June 2026, we had our first cohort graduate from our University of Oregon program, and we are happy to say that everyone has a job or is going to graduate school. And what we found is many of the practicum sites that helped to train our students saw their value in their service delivery model and agreed to hire on our graduates as staff. Some early outcome data shows that when compared to standard of practice, the mental health outcomes for the children and families that are served by our population are higher than the standard of practice. Our current employment partners include educational settings, school districts, community organizations, inpatient, outpatient, and community mental health organizations, as well as healthcare. We're doing a major pediatric integration push because we know pediatric behavioral health integration is the future. And so we even had a few students get hired in pediatric offices. So we are driving the systems level change by creating a new professional. We're scaling our model nationally. So we're in Oregon and Nevada. Here are the two bills. We're excited to report that children's mental health workforce and creating a profession is a bipartisan issue. These are the states that we are currently in conversations with who either have a training program that's interested, a policymaker who's interested, or both. So we're really excited. This is information on the scope of practice of this new profession. It's important to note that outside of the scope of this new profession is anything diagnostic. They're not diagnosing mental health disorders. They're not doing any neuropsychological or cognitive assessments. They're not doing any long-term psychotherapy. They're not doing any medication management, and they are not doing any independent practice. They are practicing under supervision. In the meeting materials, there's a list of the professions who are available to supervise these people. It is a supervised license at the bachelor's level. And our aim is bold. We want to make sure that everyone has access to high-quality mental health support, and we are doing that by creating a new profession. So thank you all for believing in this work and investing in creating providers for children and families by approving the programs. In your slide deck, there's also information about the actual training programs that you are free to look through at your leisure. This just talks a little bit more specifically. We're really excited to have partnerships with UNR, UNLV, and Great Basin College. It's exciting to have an initiative where the universities are working together in partnership to really address the needs here in Nevada. And so, again, our aim is bold. We want to create the systems level change, and we are excited to have Nevada as a partner and as a leader in the country, because I am currently working on an expansion to 18 states. Nevada is the leader in this work, and so it's really exciting to be here and a part of this. Thank you.
And before, I don't want anyone to feel too rushed. It isn't, it just was a long meeting, and so I don't want you to feel like that. So when you talk about, are you only talking about the mental health when you talk about the spectrum, or is it more than just mental health?
So it is, this profession is actually, I'll go back to their scope. It's a behavioral health and wellness practitioner, and what that looks like is we're looking to help kids all along the spectrum.
Okay,
so early identification, so before they're exhibiting signs, like how are we doing health promotion? Go ahead.
So my question would be, in the state of Nevada, yeah, my last comment, or last time I checked, 11,000 children do not have the diagnosis to get the help that they need.
Yeah.
And I'll be very upfront. I have a three-year-old great-grandson that is autistic, and he is in classes. My granddaughter is a pit bull when it comes to what he needs, and she just went everywhere, anywhere until she got what she needed. Not everybody can do that.
Right.
But so that's why I'm not just asking because of that, but what happens in all of our lives, what affects you creates your passion. And unfortunately, I have way too many passions. But so this one, why I'm asking that is a mental health situation, because you don't know what they have when they're throwing that first fit and they won't talk to you and they have no communication level. So that's what disturbs me, is those 11,000 children. And not right now, but maybe some other time we can speak. How do we impact that? Because it really matters that they get the diagnosis so they're not in kindergarten or first grade and the teacher doesn't know what to do with them and the parent didn't know. For lack of, you know, it's not the parent's fault. They just don't know. They just think they have an unruly, you know, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, whatever.
100%. I'm going to back up to this slide. So if we want to just spend a little time here, The images you see with the green leaves would be healthy kids. The images you see with those kind of puce leaves would be kids who are don't meet diagnostic criteria, but like you're talking about, maybe having some difficulty. So our professionals are trained to support those kids as well, right?
Okay.
So right now we have enough providers to serve just a portion of the kids who already have a diagnosis. One of the really cool things about this profession is they're able to work with folks before they have a diagnosis and give some tools and some strategies, maybe even while they're waiting for the evaluation. So 100%, like, we would be able to support. We're building a workforce that can support people before they meet that diagnostic threshold or while they're waiting to get that diagnostic
information. So how do you find them, or how do they – I guess that's a problem. They don't know where to go. And the problem is that they have this one-year-old, two-year-old that – you know, acts out more so than a traditional, I don't know what to call that, but so, and I don't want to belabor this. I'm happy to meet offline.
No, we can meet offline, definitely, but that's okay. One of the reasons this pediatric integration is so important.
Great.
So we're getting these folks in pediatric offices as well.
Thank you. Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
But I think they still need more education.
I mean, we got a lot of work to do, Chair Breger.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, you're very welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry. And the rest of the board have any questions? I got carried away there.
No worries.
Regent Boylan.
Thanks, ma'am. You gave me some good stuff there. Thank you so much for that presentation. Just two questions. How do we pay for this?
So we use the opioid settlement funds to seed the training programs. So we were able to launch with the support of the state. And there, I want to thank also the Nevada Community Foundation because they have contributed a gift that will help fund a Nevada state liaison. So they are funding a position that will help coordinate with the universities as well as have someone who can help employers understand this and help practicum sites. So making sure that the graduates of this program are able to get plugged in appropriately and socializing our community to this profession.
Oh, okay. So does it cost us anything? Does UNLV?
You all?
Yeah, the ENCHI, I mean.
It should make ENCHI money.
It should make, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I like it even more.
Okay, yeah.
I like it, but now I like it even more. But second question, on your first slide, you had we are 51st in something.
Yes.
We are 50 states. How can we be 50? Yeah, this one.
D.C. So in a lot of these studies, they include Washington, D.C., and
as,
even in some of them, they may include Puerto Rico. So sometimes we end up 52nd and stuff. It's rough.
Are you serious? Have I been sleeping? Suddenly they become states?
No, but when they do the analysis, they do tend to look at territories sometimes.
Oh, because I was thinking Trump had taken over Canada or something. I'm like, what are we, Canada is the 51st state? Okay.
No, we're not
Thank
doing
you
that.
So
Thank
much.
You, Regent Boylan. Anyone
Thank
online that's on the committee, and then I'll go to Regent Goodman.
Yes, thank you, Chair Breger. Thank you so much. This is a very, very exciting project. I was just curious where it's in operation in Oregon, is there ever difficulty finding an adequate number of supervisors? Because I know obviously the genesis of it is that there aren't enough of those level of service providers. So is that a problem, and how do you overcome that?
Yes, so part of SB 165 funded scholarships for people in programs who will become eligible supervisors. So providing scholarships at Nevada State, UNLV, UNR, I think those three, and Great Basin College, to help people afford the training programs so that they will be eligible supervisors later on. And then UNR is currently working diligently to submit a grant that will fund an incentive for people becoming supervisors. And UNLV is building a supervisor program.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate what you're doing. It's phenomenal. So thank you.
Chair Goodman.
I just have to say that I love this stuff. You know, this is my jam. And I have to say that, Tara, you are just, you know, you're moving the needle. And it's sometimes in Nevada, the needle just kind of hangs there. you've come here, you've found that way to get us there. And working with Michelle, I know it's just been incredible. And I'm just really appreciative of seeing something like this that's really going to help our youth. And as you know, there's so many issues out there. So thank you for your work, Michelle. Thank you for your work, And Marcia, thanks for bringing this forward to us. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? And thank you. I look, and I'm certain they do, forward to more discussion on this, because it's where it starts. If we don't get our babies taken care of, they just become, unfortunately, a problem for themselves. And I don't mean negatively meaning that, but they don't even know what's happening, and yet they have all this stuff going on with their parents not knowing, the schools not knowing, and mm-hmm. it's just not fair to them.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Marcia Turner, for the record. Now, we're going to hear a little bit more detail on the institution side. So I'm going to ask Dr. Michelle Paul to give us a little overview on how the funds that came through SB 165 are being deployed at UNLV. And then I'm going to ask Dr. Stacy Werner from GBC to follow up. And then I'll come back up to give you a little bit more information on the scholarships.
Chair Brager, members of the Health Sciences Committee, Michelle Paul for the record. Thank you for the opportunity to provide an update on UNLV's work under SB 165. At a high level, this work is building a coordinated behavioral health workforce continuum for Nevada's children, youth, and families, including undergraduate preparation for the new supervised profession, and also including advanced doctoral training in child psychology, to your point earlier, Chair Brager. I'll begin with the two areas that I directly lead. First, under my leadership, UNLV Practice Institute of Mental and Behavioral Health has launched its doctoral psychology internship program in child psychology. Sometimes this is referred to as a residency. This is the final required year of supervised clinical training for psychology doctoral students before graduation, and year one of two residency years required for full licensure. Our first cohort of four interns began in July 1st and are embedded 2 days a week at the Grant a Gift Autism Foundation and the Ackerman Center, and 3 days at the Practice Clinic. They are already providing and expanding services and expanding access to diagnostic care and services and integrating into our community-based network. Interest was very strong in this program. We received more than 30 complete applications and interviewed 24 candidates from across the country for this first cohort. This program expands supervised behavioral health services now while creating a meaningful pipeline for recruiting and retaining psychologists with the specialized child and adolescent expertise needed in Nevada. Our membership application into a national matching program called APIC has passed its first two preliminary reviews, and we're in our final stages. Based on feedback to date, we are optimistic that membership will be completed this fall. We'll be able to prepare for then APA accreditation, the American Psychological Association accreditation, with a target to complete our self-study by July 28 and a site visit to follow. Second, and I should mention that this would be the first APA-accredited child psychology doctoral residency in the state. We have zero currently. Second, yes, applaud. Thank you for the applause. Yeah. Woo. Second, I chair the advisory group supporting regulations for the new behavioral health and wellness practitioner workforce that Dr. Raines provided you an overview around. Our group has worked to translate SB 165 vision into regulations that are clear, implementable, and protective of the public. Our focus has included education and training requirements, scope of practice, supervision, ethical and safety standards, and pathways for entry and continued practice. To date, the advisory group has held 12 meetings and 2 public workshops. We've delivered a draft of regulations, which went to hearing a week ago, and were approved with revisions. The next step is to revise and submit those to the LCB for review, and depending on that feedback, we may need one additional hearing before they go before the legislature. I will briefly conclude with updates on 2 related initiatives under SB 165 led by Dr. Christopher Carney, who is the chair of the psychology department here at UNLV. Under Section 80C of SB 165, the Bachelor of Science in Children's Behavioral Health Psychology was approved by ENCHI in June just a couple months ago and is scheduled to launch this fall, or I'm sorry, in the fall of 2027. The degree supports opioid abatement efforts through an upstream approach, preparing undergraduate students in prevention, clinical science, and supervised low-intensity behavioral health services for youth and families. The curriculum is very closely informed by the Balmer Institute model, includes an addictions focus in coursework and practicum, and prepares graduates to pursue BHWP licensure. It also includes optional Spanish concentrations. Early interest is encouraging. Approximately 8,000 UNLV undergraduates were contacted, and many expressed interest and plans to pursue this degree. Also, under Section 80D of 165, UNLV is developing a prevention science micro-credential for professionals supervising BHWP students to the earlier question. We have to also simultaneously scale up the supervisors. This year, the team identified the needed personnel, technical capacity, administrative support, and an external consultant while consulting with NSHE partners and the Balmer Institute. The goal is to implement a broad web-based dissemination for supervisor training this coming spring. And together, these initiatives build the workforce infrastructure Nevada needs. On behalf of UNLV, we're thrilled to be a part of this large-scale opportunity to move the needle. We'll have well-prepared students, carefully regulated practitioners, qualified supervisors, and advanced child psychology training. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee? Anyone online? I will go to Chair Goodman.
And I just want to say thank you to Michelle. I said it earlier, but the work you're doing over there is just astounding. President Heavey, she's a superstar. So thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, we'll let Marcia introduce the next.
Thank you very much.
I shouldn't say Marcia. Ms. Turner. Thank you. Dr. Turner.
Thank you. Marcia Turner for the record. We'll go up to Stacey Werner, the Dean of Health and provide us your title, Stacey. Over to you.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Dr. Stacey Warner. For the record, I am the Dean of Health Sciences and Behavioral Health at Great Basin College. I'm excited to report on the progress GBC has made as part of this initiative. One of the key projects we've been working on as part of this bill is the development of an online Bachelor of Science in Behavioral Health and Wellness practitioner. This degree will have a focus in prevention, children and families in behavioral health to meet behavioral health needs. We use the Balmer model as a guide and develop the program in alignment with the new licensing regulations for the profession established by the Nevada Board of Psychological Examiners, while also considering the needs in rural Nevada. The program will be presented to the Board of Regents for approval next week with an anticipated launch in spring of 2027. This degree will create a new pathway, as Tara Raines had described, for students interested in behavioral health and expand that healthcare workforce available to support individuals and families in Nevada. The other component we have been working on under SB 165 is the development of a micro-credential specifically designed for PK through 12 educators. For this project, GBC was tasked with creating training to help educators better understand and respond to behavioral health concerns in children, including concerns that may stem from trauma. The micro-credential consists of 4 3-credit courses that lead to a skills certificate. GBC has also worked closely with the Nevada Department of Education to align the coursework with the state's requirements to support a new trauma-informed education endorsement, which is currently in the process for formal approval to be recognized where educators can apply for. The trauma-informed endorsement regulation was introduced and passed already at the Nevada Department of Education's Commission on Professional Standards in the spring. And it's waiting on LegCom to pass final regulation for the formal licensing that teachers or students who are also teachers going through this program can then apply for to obtain that endorsement on top of their education license. We have received, this has been a program of high interest. We have received over 280 applications from educators across the state. The first 2 courses for the micro-credential were taught this summer. 49 students completed those credits from 11 school districts across the state. Students will complete the remaining 2 courses this fall, and then we anticipate enrolling another 70 students in the spring. We have received overall very positive feedback from educators participating in the program. I'll share a couple of those things. One participant shared that the course gave me the opportunity to brainstorm ideas for implementing trauma-informed practices to improve the overall culture and environment of our school. And another participant shared, my favorite part of these courses was the stress response system and knowing how it will help me interact with students in a more positive way. Instead of just thinking they are being defiant, I'll help and think about what is going on in their lives and how I can help them co-regulate so they have the best chance of learning. So ultimately, we are working to support SB 165 and this initiative by preparing future behavioral health professionals to enter the workforce with our new proposed Bachelor of Science degree, while also empowering existing professionals in that K through 12 space to better support the behavioral health and well-being of children and individuals in Nevada. So we're very grateful to be part of this at GBC and look forward to supporting the behavioral health workforce, continuing to. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And of course, to the president of GBC being so forward-thinking on a number of things that you're bringing forward. It's very important. Anyone on the committee with any, and obviously, I was going to look there again. Thank you so much. Amazing presentation, amazing what you're doing, and that it's just so important because it will change education. And so I'm very grateful. Anyone on the committee that has any comments or questions?
Madam Chair, yes. Regent Goykechea.
Yes, sir.
Now to GBC and Stacy, you do have a bachelor's program then, a bachelor's degree available in the end for this? Can you hear me? Am I muted?
I know we can hear you in the boardroom.
The answer is yes. Go ahead, Stacey.
It was muted. Yes, after it is coming to you, the Board of Regents, next week at the Regents meeting for approval, and then we will be moving it forward to Northwest for accreditation approval, and then we can advertise and start talking about it more and gaining student interest to enroll.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. One more quick question then. Will this be in classroom instruction or online so more people can take advantage of it? Or will it be a combination?
Since Great Basin, we serve a very large service area. We've designed the program to be online with practicum experiences. We have a lot of community or clinical experience throughout the rural state, but students will be able to attend in person the practicum hours as regulated by the licensing wherever they live is the hope for that. But the education, the coursework will be online available.
Oh, perfect.
Students.
And so will the Pahrump campus have that availability? And even people, I mean, it's like 45, 50 minutes away from town. So if there's in class, I'm saying that backwards, class in person, then they would they be able to attend there?
Yes, but the majority of the coursework will be online.
Okay.
Our director of human services, who heads up our behavioral health programs, they offer synchronous online symposiums and things like that to connect students across large.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much what you're doing with that. I'll make sure there's no other questions or comments. Seeing none, I'll turn it back to Dr. Turner, and thank you again.
Thank you, Marcia Turner, for the record. And just to close this out, so in addition to the funds that went to the three schools, $2 million was given to ENSHE to oversee a scholarship program. So I'm the PI for the scholarship program, and then I've also been serving as the general PI for the grant, working with all these wonderful humans. And I'm so glad that you get to see them directly and ask questions and just see what great talent we have throughout the system. So for the scholarship, 100% of the funds is being deployed to master's level folks who are going through training programs that could serve as supervisors for these folks. And it's not just the psychology professions. It's nursing. It's other professions as well. And so we have Dr. Michelle Paul, Leslie Whittle from UNR, and Stephanie Lechman from Nevada State. So UNR and UNLV had a greater amount, so they both got $900,000, and Nevada State got $200,000, and they're off and running. And so in your December meeting, we're going to come back and give a little bit deeper dive and hopefully bring some recipients so you can hear directly from the students. I do also want to shout out Denise Padilla, who is from GBC, who's the one who has created the micro-credential that Dr. Werner was just talking about. she is off and running, and it is so great. We've been getting these different testimonials, and it's really, I just wanted to compliment her. So thank you very much. It's a very exciting thing. We're just going to keep going. It's so great because this is one of the few things that ENSHE got separate money from, approved from the legislature. And I also want to thank the folks from the Department of Human Services who oversee the Opioid Fund Settlement Fund, because we have to go through the whole grant process with them, and they've been great to work with too. So thank you.
Thank you very much. We will go to item number 5, Rural Health Transformation Grant Program. Dr. Marcia Turner, Associate Vice Chancellor for Health Sciences and members of the ENSHE Rural Health Transformation Coordinating Council, will provide an overview.
Thank you. And we ran a little long on the last one, so I'll have this one go fast. For the record, Dr. Marcia Turner. So as I've shared with you in the last few meetings, there was this national program where, because of the cuts to Medicaid and the fear that the cuts would close rural hospitals throughout the country, the federal government developed a very comprehensive program to help identify the issues and send money to the states in a competitive way to help make sure that the rural hospitals and healthcare access for the rural populations not only just sustained but also transformed into innovative care. And so Nevada received, it's a 5-year program. We just finished year one grant applications. Nevada received a total of $180 million, and a good portion of that funding went to the rural hospitals and the rural clinics and so forth. But so when we knew this was coming, Chancellor McNair worked with all the presidents to create an ENSHE coordinating council. And so from the Nevada Health Authority is the entity, so the feds divided up how much money each state gets. The Nevada Health Authority is the entity that receives the funds from the feds, and they run all the grant programs. Stacy Weeks, Melinda Souther, and Jason Bleek are the leaders of the charge there, and they're terrific to work with. They have developed a steering committee, a statewide steering committee. Our very own Dr. Amber Dinelli is chairing the committee. I sit on the committee, and Gerald Ackerman from UNR also sits on the committee. So it's a cross-section of stakeholders from throughout Nevada healthcare. But Chancellor McNair, because we knew this was coming, it's a 5-year process. It's very complicated. It's moving really fast. And so we worked with all the presidents, and he asked them each to assign one person to be their lead person for their school to sit on a rural coordinating council, because each of the schools have different things that they offer, different things they're ready to jump into individually per program, and then there's opportunities to cross-pollinate and partner. And so we wanted to make sure that there was a central organization within ENSHE to make sure we were all talking to one another. And I facilitate this committee. And it is a great group. So these are the official members, but we have the and friends. And so there's folks from EBSCOR and other entities that are helping us to be smart and brainstorm and help facilitate as any of the entities are going forward. So in Nevada, in year one, they had 4 different grants. And so I won't go into the details of this, but there's some that were for facilities. There were some that was for workforce development. There were some for direct clinic. There was a big emphasis on the use of technology. And so these came out in different, they call them requests for applications, not an RFP. So they came out in different grant application processes. And so in very high level, Nevada, all of our institutions, some of them didn't submit in this first round because it didn't make sense, and they were prudent to just wait for the next round. The next round we anticipate being in January. But in total, ENSHE institutions submitted 58 grants. 36 of them have been issued a notice of award, and they're still in the process of negotiating, so we don't know the exact final numbers, but that's a pretty great return. There's 9 that are still pending, and then there were 13 that were denied. So in the big round numbers of what we requested was a total of $66 million. But again, it was like a lot of them were long shots. And again, the numbers have to be completely finalized, but the awarded amount, the notice to award that still needs to be negotiated, is about $32 million, and then the pending from the request standpoint was about $5.5 million. And so if we were successful in getting exactly what we wanted and requested, it's about $38 million, which I think, hats off to all the schools. Everyone really put together great grants. Some of them were long shot that they just weren't ahead of their time. Some of them were things that we needed to find more rural partners. So we've learned a lot of lessons. We've already started meeting again for round two. And I just want to compliment everybody. And it really is, these last two items are great examples of how there's opportunities that are presented to all the institutions or more than one institution, and we got to figure out a way to coordinate so that we can optimize. And it's just so much fun when we get to get together and roll up our sleeves and work as a team across campuses and with ENSHE. And so what I want to do now is ask some of the recipients to tell us just a highlight of the grants that that were received. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Stacey Werner to start off and share her overview, and then we're going to have TMCC, or actually we're going to have Kyle, do you need to go first because of time? Stacey, I'm going to ask you to hold because Kyle needs to catch a plane. So we'll ask President Dalpy to go first to give the TMCC over, or the WNC overview.
And I'm just going to interrupt for a minute just because, and I want our committee not to be shortchanged, but seriously 30 seconds to a minute for each of those because there's a committee after ours. And I appreciate what everyone's doing because I do have a passion, as others on this committee, for health and science, but this next time we're going to have a meeting. We're not going to follow anybody, and I will say when that meeting will be and what time and where. Thanks.
Okay, yes, thank you. Kyle Dalpy, Western Nevada College, thank you. I will go as fast as I can here. We did receive $1.67 million through this grant. It will support a training center specific to our Fallon campus, which is 75 miles east of Carson City, where we will deploy new CNA training, EMT certification, and launch a phlebotomy program. We will continue to partner with our local players out there, in particular Banner Health. We are looking at expanding out into the rural school districts, tribal communities, healthcare employers to provide training to those areas more locally than coming to Carson campus. This will be a standalone, and this money that we have through this grant pairs very nicely with our federal appropriation received 2 years ago and about to finish up in the next month, that is renovating our Pinion building to rebuild our nursing and allied health program space out there. So we have coupled these two together on our front to make everything work. So we appreciate the opportunity to collaborate with our colleagues and train people close to home so that they can maintain healthcare careers in their local communities.
Thank you. And actually, can we go to Mike Schultz from TMCC up north, please?
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I just want to take a few seconds to share an exciting workforce initiative that we've developed at Truckee Meadows Community College called the DRIVE program. DRIVE stands for Deployable Rural Instruction for Vocational EMS. The idea behind DRIVE is simple. Instead of always requiring some of the rural Nevada students to travel TMCC for EMS training, we want to build the capability to be able to provide portions of that training to them. TMCC already operates a successful hybrid EMT and paramedic training that allows students to complete much of their academic coursework remotely. But EMS education cannot be completed entirely online. Students will travel to Reno sometimes for simulation and hands-on skills testing, and this could mean students traveling several hours, leaving their families behind, staying in hotels, fuel costs, and time away from work. DRIVE enhances those existing TMCC programs and does not create a separate program in another community. Instead, it gives deployable training capabilities and a mobile classroom with advanced patient simulators, EMT through paramedic training equipment, technology, transportation, most importantly, wonderful TMCC EMS educators. Grateful for this initiative. It represents approximately $1.5 million in rural workforce investment, and our plan targets six central northern Nevada counties, approximately 25 training deployments over this next year, with 75 sponsored and scholarship EMT, advanced EMT, and paramedics, and continuing education opportunities for approximately 250 existing rural EMS and medical providers. Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll wrap up with Dr. Werner.
My name is Dr. Stacey Warner. For the record, again, I'm the Dean of Health Sciences and Behavioral Health at Great Basin College. At GBC, we have received multiple awards for projects totaling $7 million. But for the sake of time, I'll just highlight one of those projects. On one of those projects, we've been awarded $3.8 million in funding for simulation and laboratory equipment to support our rural campuses. Great Basin College has a service area of over 86,000 square miles. We have rural campuses on multiple locations. The funding will support equitable to high quality and high fidelity simulation and laboratory equipment. Much of our current equipment is aging, so this investment will replace outdated equipment as well as add new technology to evolve our programs. We have a longstanding history of educating students in rural Nevada, and we know that students who are educated close to where they live tend to stay and work in those areas. So having high access to equipment and hands-on training is essential. The equipment will support students across more than 8 health science programs. It will also benefit our lower division biology courses to provide additional resources to students to support their learning in those prerequisite health science courses. And we're very excited about the investment in GBC and our rural campuses. And our other awards, which include the addition of 2 additional programs, which will add to the healthcare workforce and strengthen our rural healthcare workers. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Marcia Turner, if you wouldn't mind, can we have Dr. Denali just add a couple of points?
You're just ahead of me a little bit. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. For the record, Amber Denali, president at Great Basin College. Chair Breger, thank you for giving me a few minutes. I did just want to mention that Great Basin College is helping rural Nevada communities address critical needs by building a sustainable workforce. One of those things is that we are helping Northern Nye County Hospital District and Esmeralda County, which are identified as having critical health care needs for their communities. We were able to pull down $2.7 million to establish their clinics in Tonopah, Goldfield, Silver Peak, and Fish Lake Valley, and an additional $2 million to help out Esmeralda County establishing a county-based EMS system for the first time in its history. Great Basin College continues to help support these, and eventually, hopefully, they will have nurses, EMS, all of those important people within those areas. So I just want to give a shout-out to my grants team, who are fantastic, Nicole Maher and Sherry Beard, and, of course, Stacey Warner, because when we help these other entities, it takes away from what we're doing, but it was the right thing to do, and I'm excited to see what they do with these clinics. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Incredible work is being done in all of our campuses, but I do think our rural campuses have really stepped it up, and the CSN campus, which are really the lifeblood of education. Nothing against our R1s, but we do have people that have to get into the workforce, and they don't have the 4, 6, or 8 years or wait for their master's or their doctorate. They can come back, and I think that we need to encourage that in those 30 to 50-year-olds that need to come back to education. But I think right now what's happening in those campuses, I think it's extraordinary, and it's so important to the vitality of not just the rural area but the whole state. And so I thank you for all of that, all of you that are doing those jobs along with our universities. I know that we were going to have Dr. Turner do one more thing, but we're going to not do item number 6. But I am going to ask, because I don't want to cut us too short. I apologize. I think it's security that's next. But like I said, we'll do our meeting a little bit different. It's not going to be long for the sake of long, but it'll be productive in what we do in our next meeting. But I did ask a question about the dental rural bus situation so that people in those rural areas would be able to have. Dental health is so much more important than people think. Dr. Turner time, but in Susan Breger time, would you share that?
There we go. Marcia Turner for the record. UNLV School of Dental Medicine is it working now? Okay. They do have a dental mobile clinic, and lucky for them, they bought it before the rural grant thing happened. So they have one. They actually did put a grant in. I think it was just too complex, so they're working on a HRSA grant. They have it, and it's really amazing. So we'll have them come in and talk about it.
Be great, because it's, you know, I always felt I represented Sandy Valley, Good Springs, Bonnie Springs, Blue Diamond, and another area out there. And people used to think, like, well, they're so small, are they paying their part? It's not about that. It's that they're part of our community, and they deserve as much as the rest of the, you know, major part of our state. And so I think sometimes the rural can be overlooked a little bit, and I just think we need some equality, and that's what I'm looking for. Anyone on the board or on the committee have any comments that they'd like to share before we go to new business? Otherwise, I will do that. Okay, any new business for health and science? And if you don't think of it today, it's not like our meeting is next month. Please, you can either reach out to myself or Dr. Turner, and then she will share that with me on anything you feel like. Some of you are out in those rural areas, and some are in town. But, I mean, if there's something that you think that we need to discuss that needs to go further, then that would be great. It'll be time again for the dental school shortly. You know, can do another presentation. The medical school can do that. But right now, I think we will go on to, we asked about the new business. No one has new business, so we will go back to public comments. Is there any public comments in Reno?
There is no public comment in Reno.
Thank you. Any public comments in GBC? I'm going to take that as a no. Are there any comments here in the boardroom, Las Vegas? Any comments on the phone?
None at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. To everybody, and I apologize that it's hard to determine when we do meeting after meeting, but it won't be like that next time. I will assure you of that. And to all the speakers, if they're not here, would you please share with them, and Dr. Donnelly, to your staff and people that are working, how much we appreciate what they're doing and what you're getting accomplished. And to TMCC, to all of you, I appreciate it. Thank you. Now we're adjourned.